and the priest has power. And if that isn't unrighteousness, if that's not promoting ungodliness and unrighteousness, I don't know where you would find it. And so not only that, but they invented all kinds of schemes, and they granted indulgences that people could buy, indulgences, and this scheme of purgatory. And they set up, the Lord Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And the Apostle Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And we go back to the 17th chapter of John when he used this term, the son of perdition. He said, those that thou hast given me, he says, I have given them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they believe that thou hast sent me, and that I have come out from thee. And he says, therefore I pray for them. And I pray not for the world, but I pray for them. And so then, this great mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, was justified in the Spirit, was seen of angels, was preached on to the Gentiles, and was believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So the greatest scheme, in other words, if the Lord had come and fulfilled his work, and none would have believed it, it would have been to no avail. Because that was, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem them that the Father had given him. And this truth is, Apostle Paul writing this and speaking about this great apostasy that would deny these great truths, and the great person and office of Christ. Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king. And they, in this system, these three offices are supplanted with themselves. The Pope himself being king over that kingdom. When you see him traveling around, he's treated with royalty like a king, like another president, like the nobility or royalty of a country of some kind. And so he has supplanted the kingship of the king within that system. And they have supplanted him as a prophet. They have their own teachings and things concerning heaven and hell and purgatory and the worshiping of saints and of the dead bones of saints, worshiping of angels and the Virgin Mary. And so they have planted that, and then they have planted the office of high priest, in that they themselves offer up, supposedly in their mass, the body of Christ over and over and over. And then they have the office of Christ as also as an intercessor. He intercedes for his, and they have other intercessors, the Virgin Mary and angels that they can pray to, and then those that have been canonized, saints down through the years that they claim to canonize and to exalt to positions in heaven, then they have authority to pray to them, to intercede for them with the mother of the Son of God, and so forth and so on. So they have supplanted Christ himself and also the offices that he came to fulfill. Christ is our mediator and the only mediator between God and man. And he is also, he became surety of the everlasting covenant. And that is, he took the responsibility upon himself. The first man broke the covenant of works that was made and that God gave him. It was broken by Adam. But this second man, he kept the law in every jot and in every tittle. And so he has completed and finished the work that the Father gave him to do. But in this system, he did not do that. It takes the prayers of the priesthood and the work of the church and the dispensing of grace through the church for salvation. And they have exalted tradition, the tradition down through the church, above the authority of the scriptures. Their word and their tradition is more fallible than the word of God, as far as infallible as far as they're concerned. And so every office that Christ fulfilled on our behalf, it has this system. This is a system of hypocrisy, and it's nothing but the masterwork of Satan himself, of that wicked one who came to Christ himself. Just as he did the first man, Adam, he deceived Eve and got Adam to sin by doing that, and caused sin to enter into the world. And he came to Christ, the second Adam, and he tempted him in all points of power that the human being seeks after, the human psyche seeks after. He tempted our Lord, but he found nothing in him, as we've said so often. But thank God, the Apostle Paul said, "For you, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And so the God had chosen these in Thessalonica, and had the Apostle Paul said, they said that he had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. And so then the Lord calls his people. He quickens them, and he gives them spiritual life, awakens them from death, from the death that's in trespasses and sin. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so God quickens. From the beginning, he has chosen his people. God is eternal, and it says that he inhabits eternity. And if God has ever loved you, beloved, he has loved you from all eternity. He is God and changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is immutable, and he does not change. And so what he has always purposed, and the ones that he has forever known throughout all eternity, he has forever loved. And he says, "I will not take my loving kindness from Jacob." And so from the beginning, God has chosen these people that has come to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has sanctified them by his Spirit. When the Spirit takes up his abode in the heart of his children, that heart is forever set apart from those that are dead in trespasses and sin. That heart then is a sanctuary. It is sanctified for the worship of God, to praise his great and holy name, to approach unto God through the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel, he said, "And he hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, beloved, when God's people hear of the wonderful name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and when they sanctify him in their hearts, they hear what he has done on their behalf, and they believe, and the Holy Spirit seals it to them, then they are a sanctified vessel forever and forever to render up praise and thanksgiving to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son, by the eternal Spirit that He has given us and by which He leads us and guides us and teaches us that this truth is true and it is ours and that God has sent Jesus into the world. He says, and they have believed that thou hast sent me into the world. They have received the words that I have given them. And therefore I pray for them. I pray not for the world. And he said, they are in the world, but they're not of the world. And I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one, the wicked one, Satan and his evil devices by which he energizes this man of sin, the son of perdition, to sit down and in lies and hypocrisies deny the word of God and rob his son of his glory and of his worship and receive it for himself. And so, but God's people have the Spirit in them. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a day, set, beloved, when Jesus Christ, whom we now worship, our Father by Him, shall be manifested in this world. There shall be a time when every head shall bow and every knee shall bend and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, His Father and our Father. But in this evil time, in this evil generation, in this wicked world, the Apostle John says, I believe, beloved little children, we know that we are of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so, beloved, there's a great coming together of those that would have one religion, and that would, through the deceitfulness of the devil and this great delusion to believe a lie, as it said, they gather about the camp. Great hordes of them will gather about the holy city, which in this day, beloved, is the church of God that the Lord Jesus planted. This is the planting of His hand, it says, and every plant which God hath not planted shall be plucked up, he says, in one place. And you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. And so, beloved, God's people, Jesus said, he that is of God heareth my words. He that is not of God heareth not my words. And he said, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. These people withstood him when he was here tabernacling in the flesh. The very Son of God, the Lamb of God, the very God manifested in the flesh, walking about in this world. They confronted him and they reviled him and they lied against him and they laid the whip on his back and they crucified him. Because Jesus said, ye hear not my words because ye are not of God. If ye were of God, ye would hear my words. And so, beloved, this world, the world as such, is under the power of the god of this world, which is Satan. The Lord Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. And aren't we thankful that God the Father sent a son down here, and he was born of a virgin, grew up as a little babe, just as another human being, that he might have a body, a holy body, and he'd offer that body as a sacrifice for sin. And though Satan and all of his henchmen come with all the power he had, and yet he could not find anything in that Holy One of Israel, the Son of God. He was God, manifested in the flesh. He was man, and he was God. He is the God-man. He is our Savior. And he is our captain. He is all that we need, beloved. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is the morning star, the lily of the valley, and the rose of Sharon. He's food for the hungry. He's drink to the thirsty. His body is food indeed. and his blood is drink indeed. When we spiritually understand that by that holy body he has put away our sins forever and forever and forever, never to be remembered against us anymore. He is the holy Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we worship him and praise him and praise his Father and our Father and his God and our God, because he is the shepherd and bishop of our soul and has brought us back to God. Thank God for him. Apostle Paul said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, for he has from the beginning chosen you to salvation and belief of the truth through the sanctification of the Spirit. What a wonderful, wonderful message to have, that God in his tender mercy and loving kindness has a people, and he loves them. He gave his Son for them. He's redeemed them. And he'll keep them from the evil one in this world. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And may we ever worship and praise and glorify his wonderful name. And let the heathens rage and the kings imagine of vain things. And let them come together and say, we'll break his bands asunder. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. For he shall dash him to pieces and rule them with a rod of iron in due time. Our God is God, and beside him there is no other. And he has exalted his Son, Jesus Christ, above the very highest of heavens, the scripture says. You can't get no higher than he's been exalted. In other words, he's been exalted above the angels, above all creation. And he's ruling and reigning. And we're ruling and reigning with him, beloved, because he's in our hearts to rule and reign forever. And may the church of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, stand fast and hold on to those things that we've received. And as few and as feeble as we are, as far as the world's concerned, beloved, we have the greatest power and advantage and favor there is in the world, if we are indeed God's blessed children, which is my hope. Sometimes it gets awful slim when I look at myself. But still, beloved, I remember, as David said, I have hope. And I'm saved by that hope day by day. May God add his richest blessings to his precious word. We'll publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today would love to take up their cross and follow their Savior, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What shall we sing?
Let's sing
376 in the red book. Go ahead, sing, brother, when you're ready.
There's a land that is better than day, and with faith we can see. Prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet.
these flowers. The flowers, the place here by my aunt daughter Moore, in memory of her mother, Sister Sally Jane Haney, who was a member of this church many years ago. At the time of her death, she was the oldest member of the Greensboro Church. She was my grandmother and Keith's great-grandmother.
They're people to the Lord of the Lord Glenn, Elder Sonny Piles, will be with us the 17th of this month. That's on Tuesday night. And he goes down to Bear Creek, the Mountain Creek, Liberty Hill, Union Grove, High Point on Saturday night, and Bear Creek Sunday, and Bear Creek Sunday night, the Mills Chapel, Annapolis on Monday night, and Parkview Church, West of Salem on Tuesday night, the 24th of March. And we have announcements so far this month that Crooked Creek and Northview will have a fifth Sunday meeting. Any other announcements?
Also on Saturday, the 4th, 5th Sunday, they'll have the singing at Grimby Baptist Library, Elon College.
Somebody said Sister Mary had been real sick.
Had the flu.
Had the flu.
I think she's better now.
She's better. Any other lunch reserved? Did I say that?
No, sir. Lunch is well out.
Lunch is brought out, invite everybody to stay and eat with us if you possibly can. Fellowship with us. Now with us, we ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence in time to thank thee, our Father, that thou hast put our sins away and delivered us from the pit of evil and sin that's in the world, and has given us a blessed hope in thy blessed Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the church and the kingdom of God that's here in the world. And we thank you, dear Lord, for the love and the heart that thou hast given us in it. We pray, Lord, that thou would preserve us and keep us as a lamp and a light and a witness for thee here in this present evil generation. And as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou would go with us as we each go our several ways. Be our light and darkness and our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.